from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, it's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen anytime on your radio dial on 92.9 FM ESPN or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can still keep up to date with all of the great content right here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Download the Odyssey app. You can stay up to date. You can listen live. It's free. Free to download. Free to listen. You can stay up to date on everything right here on 92.9 FM ESPN, as well as all the other content that Odyssey provides. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company this week is a host for the Locked On Podcast Network. Also, does some play-by-play for ESPN, college hoops, and baseball. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at Lennox on Baseball. Steve Lennox, good day, sir.
Jeffrey, how are you?
I am well, my man. How about yourself?
Doing well. Excited about this. What a weekend we had. I know you have multiple TVs. I was flipping all over the place. I think I need some new AA batteries.
We definitely have. This is the peak, like, getting ready for football season. So you got to make sure you know where all your remotes are. You got to make sure all your remotes are fully loaded, if you will. Make sure battery pack wise. You also, we're doing a lot of flipping around. Got to know where everything is. So it's a good training ground, I feel like, for football season. So let's celebrate what we got coming up on the program. It's Monday, so of course we will overreact. The weekend, that's what we do in sports. We'll have overreactions, get into the Olympics, as well as both men's and women's capturing gold in basketball. We had our closing ceremonies. Also, we did have some preseason football. I think overall, a pretty good day for the young quarterbacks, if you're interested. And we'll discuss some of that as well. Jason Munn's going to join us like he does each and every Monday on the program. We'll talk Tiger basketball and more with him when he joins us in about 30 minutes or so. Hour number two, we will get into the list. We got the AP Top 25. A couple of things from that. The same 25 teams are ranked in both the AP and the coaches poll. We've got some new excerpts from the forthcoming Aaron Rodgers unauthorized biography. We've got Brandon Ayuk perhaps coming to the realization that I think maybe some had before. We also have Hassan Reddick requesting a trade. Will that go down the same way that it has with Brandon Ayuk? Weird moment over in Greensboro with Matt Kuchar. Also, it is FedEx St. Jude Championship Week, the PGA Tour, and the FedEx Cup playoffs will begin this week here in Memphis. So we'll get into that. We'll also get into some of the NFL. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But, Steve, I think it's always fair let's overreact to the biggest things that we saw this weekend. And I think I'll just go big picture. When I think about these Olympics, Paris 24, I think overall it's going to be remembered fondly. And that's kind of my first overreaction is, I think this is going to be remembered as a good Olympics.
I think so. But are we talking about it in 2 months? Are we talking about it in 4 years? Down the road as we get closer to Los Angeles 2028. Overall, enjoyed it. You know, certainly plenty of storylines. I thought NBC did a wonderful job across the board. And there were some moments where it was appointment television for me over the weekend, including the basketball and the women's track and field. A couple of events where we had where I'm at. There was a local woman who was part of the Olympic team that won gold on Sunday and won gold convincingly in the 4x400. But overall, I think the Olympics, great. I think France did an amazing job. Overall, there were some things here once in a while that we talk about, but overall, it went by fast. How much are we talking about it in a couple of years?
I think that's,
or even a couple of months.
I think that's the real question, because like when you think about the memorable Olympics, for me in my lifetime, the one Olympic moment that stands out above the rest is Jason Lezak in the year in which Phelps is going for the gold medal record. So that's 08. Like, to me, that's the first one that comes to mind. I don't necessarily know if we're talking about stuff in 2 months because we'll be knee-deep in football. I think the key will be, how much do we remember from Paris in 24 as we ramp up for 28 in L.A.? Because to me, like, that seems – I think the Olympics, they don't really get compared to other sports. I think they get compared to other Olympics, if you get my drift there.
Right, right. And I think we're maybe a transition. I don't think we see Steph Curry in 2028. I don't think we see LeBron James in 2028. So you're going to see a lot of new NBA players. And that's where the baton is going to be passed in the next couple of years as well, in terms of that. And some of the guys that we saw on this Olympic team, Jason Tatum maybe has a bigger role in 2028. But right now, some of these guys, does Durant come back again? But Curry and LeBron, I think we saw them for the final time.
You could talk me into Curry, and there's also this weird reality of LeBron where, yes, he would be...
It's LeBron.
He's 40. He would be 43. I think at that point, I'm expecting him not to play, but at the same point, it's like, I have no idea. I didn't think Brady was going to play to 46.
Right, right. And it is LeBron Diana Taurasi in 4 years in Los Angeles.
Well, I mean, to me, like, I've joked, this is the other aspect. You really are. I don't think it's like a 0.0% chance that we can't have the first father-son Olympics Olympians going for gold with Team USA. Bronny will be coming that into his own. Like, again, I don't think it would happen, but I also just don't rule it out because it's LeBron. Like, and it feels like anything's on the table with LeBron.
Man, that'll be the true measure of his clout and his power. If his son is somehow on the team in 2028, I don't know if he's on the Lakers in 2 years.
Well, I mean, that's the real question. Does he own the Vegas franchise in 2028?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's playing. He's the 12th guy on the roster in Vegas, maybe.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing. Like, I don't know. Are you allowed to? I don't even know. Like, I don't think LeBron would play at that point, but like, do we know? Like, we haven't really had to deal with, like, can you own a team and play for the team at the same time?
Well, here was the thing that came down over the weekend. The Boston Red Sox and the Fenway Sports Group may be one of the bidders for the Boston Celtics. LeBron James is part. He's got some minority share of the Boston Red Sox. So that would have to change hands.
Would that be a popular buyer for the Celtics?
Ooh, I don't think so.
Because it feels like with the Fenway Sports Group, the New Englanders kind of go up and down.
Got their hands involved in a lot of things, and the perception would be I don't know that they'd be willing. They're not willing to go over the luxury. The taxes.
Right.
There's no cap in baseball, but they're not going to be willing to spend the money with the cap hits that current Celtics ownership has been willing to do. The Spurs in the past, and even the Golden State Warriors. They're not. I don't know that they'd be willing to handle that tax that big tax hit. With the cap hit, I mean. And with that, Red Sox fans already believe right now they are they're no longer fascinated with the Red Sox. They like Liverpool. They like the other things, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're not stretched. Their budget is not stretched. They can swim in that end of the pool. But Red Sox fans, their perception is, you know, we're no longer, you know, the favorite child. We're no longer the apple in their eye, I guess. And with the Celtics, I think that they'd be pushed even further down, or at least that would be the perception.
Well, because I kind of think that's what's interesting, because you have with the Celtics right now, with the way that Tatum was kind of jerked back and forth with this team, it's fascinating because, like, we've pondered the question of, like, did Steve Kerr do a disservice to the NBA? Like, is this going to motivate Tatum and Brown to a level that we haven't seen? Because normally it's like, okay, you win a title. Is there a championship hangover? Like, did they just poke the bear? And I think that is something that's fascinating coming into the NBA this year.
I think it'd be great for the NBA if they did poke the bear. Those guys play with, you know, you win gold, you win your first team All-NBA. Only LeBron and Michael Jordan have done that. And you're Tatum, you've got gold. But where is he putting that gold medal? I don't know that he looks at that gold medal and says, you know, hey, I had a great experience, because obviously he didn't.
No, I think those are some of the more interesting moments. Like, when I think back to, you know, because to a certain degree, the Olympics is just a television product. Like, let's be real. It's like, we're rooting for a country, but it's, for the most part, it's a television product. But the things that I kind of that have always interested me as a sports fan is, like, the kind of the game within the game. You know, when you've got Gretchen Walsh that's having to, you know, congratulate her teammate for beating her essentially by a hand length, and the devastation that has to be, but, like, you've got to sit there and smile. And then with Tatum, you know, I don't know how you'd feel. I mean, I guess to a certain degree, hey, you're on the floor in the gold medal game, but there's two games where you don't play. I can't imagine that was a 10 out of 10 experience for him. But he's clearly, like, in a different category than, like, Tyrese Halliburton, who's, you know, basically saying, hey, right, man, I was in the group project, I did nothing, and I still got the A. Like, which I do tip my cap to Tyrese for essentially, like, you know, leaning into it. But, like, I don't know. Like, how does Embiid feel about all this? Like, it does feel like Embiid was better in the knockout round. But, like, I don't view this as some massive success for Joel Embiid in terms of, do we think any differently about him?
Right, and none of the guys. You know, the only thing I really took away even from, you know, from Saturday was, you know, Steph Curry, we celebrate him, and we know what kind of shots he can make. But there's one image that I saw on social media where it's Durant and LeBron, I believe it's LeBron, on the other side of the floor saying, hey, look at us, we're wide open.
Yeah,
and he launches, you know, he hits in everything. That's Steph Curry's game, and we celebrate that. But within a team game, you know, I always go back to 92. I mean, that was amazing, even all these years later, of what the dream team was. And where they brought basketball to this day, they still have their imprints, maybe not as much on the U.S. game, but worldwide, that 1992 dream team still has an effect on, you know, on foreign countries that play basketball. And I'll tell you, if you see France in the U.S. again in 2028, I mean, we're already looking ahead. We did that. The handoff was made. I don't know where the betting lines are right now. It might be a little bit early. We don't know the rosters. But it's going to be a lot more difficult on the U.S. team 2028 than it was here in 2024. And it wasn't a cakewalk. I mean, they had to come from behind. But I think, I mean, France, there's a couple of countries you can say they're really going to compete for gold next time around. And it's going to be on U.S. soil.
And I think that's going to be kind of the interesting question is going to be, for me, is it feels like the rest of the world can put a pretty good starting five out there. But
right,
the depth is what is our strength, because our bench is basically better than everyone else's bench. But to your point with France, like, okay, I don't know if Alex Sarr and Zachary Richichet are going to be good, but I do know they were drafted 1 and 2, and I know that Wembanyama at this point, it appears that we're going to have to really deal with him, you know, not only in international play, but it feels like he's going to be a huge part of the NBA season this year. I mean, I don't know, like, are they going to be good enough? But to me, it's like the best comp is probably what Spain gave us when they had the Gasols. And they have Rubio, where their frontline guys could kind of compete, but it feels to me it's kind of the same situation where is there ever going to be a team that's going to be able to 1 through 10 hang with the U.S.? Because to me, that seems to be the biggest difference.
But you can, if who knows what, 16, 17-year-old French kids right now that might be part of that team in 4 years, because those kids are already playing international-level basketball. That could be a part of that. So, if you're 6, 7, 8 deep against the U.S. next time around where you've got, you've got NBA pros, you've got NBA first-teamers, and there's, you just mentioned the names. I mean, Wembanyama is going to, he's going to be much better in year number two than he was in year number one, as long as he stays healthy.
Well, there is still this weird reality.
For that U.S. game, you only need to go 8 deep. You can, for one game.
Well, this weird reality is like, okay, we've got all these, you've got all the great players, but it's like who in every time in crunch time, whether it was Serbia, whether it was France yesterday, whether it was, the South Sudan exhibition or showcase game. Like when it came down to it, they needed LeBron and Steph to come save the day or Durant. And it's like, to your point, they're probably not going to be here next time.
Yeah, and you can, it's, how do I say this the right way? You can replace Durant, you can replace LeBron. You're going to have, those talented guys that are stepping up. Where are the shooters going to be in 2028? Where is a Steph Curry going to be?
Well, to me,
I don't identify.
The along the same lines, the same question I think that you're asking, or at least the way that I kind of view it, because I have the same thing. All right, if we rank the best players in the NBA right now, all right, let's say if we want to go Jokic 1, if you take out Durant, LeBron, Curry, to me, it's like the guys that were kind of coming to mind are, okay, we've got Anthony Edwards, but he still hasn't, ascended to like that, okay, he's undeniable. Tatum was kind of jerked back and forth on what's his role. And I think Tatum also kind of fell into another problem that we see with this team is the U.S. has an abundance of perimeter wing guys. And there's only so many spots. But there's a legitimate reality of, okay, in 4 years, are the three best players on the planet Jokic, Wembanyama, and Luka? Because
they're all international.
And yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to me, that's kind of
absolutely,
the real question.
Because, it's that next, transition from, the Currys, the LeBrons. Who are these next guys? Anthony Edwards and then role players. they're getting paid like superstars, but are they truly superstars? NFL quarterbacks get paid like they're superstars. But to me, you only get paid that big money if you've won a Super Bowl, and you can only be one Super Bowl winning quarterback. These guys in the NBA, we're equating the money they're getting paid. They got their payday out of their rookie deals, but where are, Gordon Hayward got paid, but a superstar? Absolutely not. And never really materialized the way they thought he was going to.
And obviously injuries.
The injury.
Yeah, injuries.
Yeah,
part
the injury,
of his story.
Injury almost immediately. Yeah. But it's there for the taking. Is it Brown and Tatum, two guys hand in hand in Boston?
See, I don't know. There's this weird reality for me with Tatum in which I fundamentally believe he's a great basketball player. But part of the story that we just saw with LeBron, Curry, and Durant is it's kind of a hat tip for carrying the league for 20 years. Am I really willing to bet that Tatum's going to carry this league for the next decade? No.
Ooh, no, it's going to be the international players we're talking about. We're there.
That is kind of the question to me. Is there an American that can carry the league and deliver like those guys did for the next decade? And, Edwards, I feel like, is a potential, but, it felt during this playoffs that we were ready to crown him, and then he gets into the Western Conference Finals, and we realize, this isn't an undeniable guy, but he's still young, and, that's part of growing.
Right.
To me, that's a real question, is is there going to be an American star that's going to carry the league? Because it's a league that is traditionally, you know, dominated by the superstar, even dating back to like the 80s. Like, it's one or two guys basically carry or dominate the league for, you know, 10-year stretches. I'm not convinced we have that. But maybe with Boston, maybe Boston recognized this. Hey, there's not going to be another, you know, for at least for a while, we don't think that there's going to be another LeBron. There's not going to be another Curry. There's not going to be another Durant. So let's try to figure out a way to build the best possible roster. And that was kind of the story of the year.
Like, right.
Maybe Boston did not have the best player alive, or, you know, more times than not, it feels like every year when we get to the finals, whoever lifts the trophy, someone has a claim to the best player on the planet. It didn't really feel like that with Boston, but Boston's sitting there going, well, who cares? We've got the best roster, and does anyone want to challenge us? Maybe that's where this is trending.
I mean, we're going away from the super team. I mean, does a third guy want to go to Boston and join those guys? You know, I think we're moving away from that as well. With these guys, they're going to take their money and stay put. I mean, Anthony Edwards is in Minnesota. Does he reach his full stardom based on being with the Timberwolves? Does he need to get out of there?
I don't know. I mean, it's going
to be in order to reach that. I mean, we, you know, he's everywhere now. We can see him any way we want. We can see him on TV nightly. We can see him on social media. And does he have the shoulders to carry that weight? Because right now it's one guy we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, this is your guy, Jeffrey. This is my guy. No, we're talking about one guy. We can't come up with another list. And also when you talk about that, you know, yeah, the Celtics, let's get these role players around these two stars. We don't have to go out and get another star. We have them right here. We can pay them. But think about Jordan. Think about LeBron. You know, LeBron and Curry, okay. But all those secondary players, we're struggling right now to find who is the superstar to take it next. We can't. And then you had, you know, Jordan, you had Ewing, you had Barkley, you had all those different players, Drexler. Those guys were just a step below. Where are those guys now? U.S. born. So, yeah, I mean, over the next 4 years with these international players, and the international players, we're not talking about anything new. They've been here for a long time. But they're coming in at an entirely different level. And they're more known products now, too, for us because of the social media world. We know a little bit about these guys before they get here. It used to be like Frank Ntilikina, boom, because we don't know who the heck he is. Fear of the unknown.
Well, I mean, to your point about 92, like, it's still, like, weird where Kukoc is on this, you know, Kukoc is playing with the Bulls, and there's the weird, like, is MJ targeting him? It was, I mean, like, you know,
right.
there was a handful that you could name, but overall, you just kind of moved on. Anything else you want to do? Because I had another thought, another overreaction, this time with the women who pick up gold yesterday.
Yeah, and fortunate to be able to do it. The biggest thing there on the women's side, in both U.S. women and the U.S. men basketball teams beating France on both sides. Gabby Williams hits that too, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
At the end, I was so glad that her foot was either, hey, if she tied the game and we went overtime, I would have been excited. But at that point, I'm like, oh, you know, France is, you know, everything is on France now. The money's on France to win this in the overtime session. You know, maybe they get the whistle, all those different things. Either I wanted that foot, a foot behind the line or where it was. I didn't want it, you know, oh, we got to look at this from a million different angles.
Is that a toenail?
There.
Is that a shadow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was obvious from where she was. And I said, her foot's inside, and then all of a sudden that shot goes up, and it's like, wow, that just went in. That's a one-point game. That was a tie game if she's behind the three-point line. They gave a great effort. They really did. The cameras captured it perfectly on both sides. Brittany Griner had tears in her eyes. And I was glad the women won, but, you know, I'm on both sides of this where we just finished the Olympics. Now we're already looking ahead to 2028, but I'm already looking ahead to Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, and Angel Reese being the three that we're looking forward to seeing in USA rosters in 4 years in Los Angeles.
Well,
great, great players. They won gold, 8 straight gold, 61 straight wins for USA women's basketball and Olympic play. But those three, I'm already looking forward to 2028 on that side of it, because all three of those should be certainly established pro players at that time.
No, I mean, I completely agree, because it was that – it's always – whenever you have that type of swing in a game, it's always interesting because, like, when I think back to the Serbia semifinal for the men, the thing that was always interesting to me is I was always looking at the live line, and even when Serbia was up 17, the U.S. was still a slight favorite. And so there's this reality of, okay, the live line's just running a bunch of simulations, and they know that one roster has significantly better players, and the more the game goes on, the more the game's going to favor them. But I'm with you yesterday. It really did feel like Team USA needed that game to end in regulation, because it just felt like if that game goes to overtime, the shot-making wasn't quite there for the U.S., and you felt like you were leaving it up to the judges, despite the fact that I felt like they'd been the better team for much of the game. I was with you. I really feel like if that game, if Williams is behind the line, I think that was setting up Team USA, the women, WNBA, everything for just like the ultimate miserable media day, because you know the conversation was immediately going to turn to Caitlin Clark. Why isn't Caitlin Clark there? And I think the interesting contrast that we're talking about is, and maybe this isn't fair to the women's game because the U.S. women are still way ahead of the world in terms of basketball. But we can see, like, you know, this is Diana Taurasi. She didn't even play in the game because she's largely been played off the floor. And you can see who the WNBA is handing the game off to, whereas from the American perspective, whereas I don't know. It doesn't mean that someone, the opportunity's there for an American man. Like, if John Morant can come out and dominate, there's the opportunity to be the face of the league. Jason Tatum, same thing. Like, if we just enter the Tatum era, like, it's there. Anthony Edwards, it's there. It just feels like it's a lot easier to pinpoint where the women's game is going in terms of American stars than it is right now for men.
And on the women's side, I don't think you need the depth. You talked about the U.S. men always having the advantage. On the women's side, you don't need to be 10 deep to beat the U.S. women's basketball team in the future. And it's going to happen. You know, that win streak will come to an end at some point in time. But real quick, you mentioned John Morant for the first time. John Morant is in consideration for the 2028 U.S. men's basketball team in Los Angeles. Does that equate to success for the Grizzlies?
I'm going to say, like, you can kind of tangentially say yes. I don't really believe, like, in my heart of hearts, I would still say no, because really what I think it speaks to is Ja right now, and I suspect in 28, he's going to be on the team, because the number one indicator of whether or not you're going to be on the team is Nike. And in his generation, he's the only guy that
still
has
to this day.
He's the only guy that has the signature shoe. And so as long as Ja's healthy and as long as Ja's in good standing, and it's funny how if you would ask me the same question last year and said, like, is Ja going to, like, get his head on straight, or like, do you really believe it? I would have been like, I don't know, man. Like, but now I feel much better. I think Ja's seen what it's like to have your pocketbook kind of thinned, if you will. And I think it was a miserable season, but I think it's the type of season maybe that he really needed, where, all right, you got to sit on the sidelines for 25 games. You have to sit there. You have to eat it. And whether or not, you know, you feel like that was a just suspension or not, like, it is what it is. And then you come back for 9 games and you get hurt. And so you've just spent this entire year largely out of the limelight. And there's no sport where we go out of sight, out of mind faster than the NBA. Like, I really think this is a good spot for Ja to be in, because, you know, we're talking about all these people other than him. And I think he really, really thrives when, you know, he gets to be the underdog.
It's going to be a great storyline if over the next 4 years he's a big part of that. And as we were talking, you know, I mean, he's one of those guys we talk about, you know, Tatum in Boston and Ja Morant in Memphis. If those are the two guys leading your way over the next 4 years, then you're in good shape. And he's written the next couple of chapters of his books where it's a page turner, and you want to go in that direction. You want to finish. You want to continue reading the book.
Well, it's to your point, though. Like, that's to me the real question of whether or not Ja is going to be, if Ja is going to end up being like the face of the league, like where it was trending 2 years ago. You know, where the NBA can't get press releases out fast enough about how many impressions Ja gets and you know, building him up. The key with Ja, though, is A, undersized guard, got to stay on the floor. I mean, like it's a real question of, you know, he's the last two playoff series, he's not been healthy for all of them. Like, is that a product of bad luck? Is that a product of undersized guard that plays a very physical game? Like, I can buy both. But to me, the real question comes to, is Ja going to become a legitimate shooting threat? Because if Ja is going to reach his ceiling, I think you have to be afraid at least of just sagging off and letting him shoot threes. It's very similar to where LeBron was early in his career, where everyone's absolutely paranoid of him getting into the paint and just wrecking a game. But it was like he, you know, every single year he got a little bit better at shooting, a little bit better at shooting. Are we going to see Ja do that? Because so far the results have been pretty mixed.
And that takes him to the next level. You know, Jordan, you can go back to Jordan as well. You know, what are you doing there in the offseason? Are you working on your game? And that, you'll probably know that within the first couple of weeks of preseason. Being in the gym, watching it put shots up, things like that. Hey, look at this. It's coming along. And he doesn't need to be Steph Curry.
No, no.
In terms of shooting percentage, he just needs to improve.
The reality is he just needs to be league average. You know, if he's shooting 35-36%, that's enough to where if he can really hurt you that way. Again, to your point, we're not asking Steph Curry, because that's kind of the other interesting thing to me. It's like, normally what we see is, okay, you get a guy like Steph, and it's interesting to me how he more changed the game from a style of play rather than we're looking up and seeing just copycats of Steph. And partly I think that also speaks to, there's this view of, I think particularly amongst the old guard, that Steph's greatness is kind of a gimmick. Like, he's a shooter. You know, it's not just that he's an unbelievable basketball player, but it's that he's a shooter. Well, what we've really started to see is his impact is not watching a generation of guys that started to play like him. It was the entire league recognizing, all right, we've got to play threes and layups. Like, that's where the game's going. And so he changed it from that perspective, but it has not bred this just entire generation of shooters. But maybe does that begin with guys like Reed Sheppard that have had tremendous starts to summer league? And again, with the caveat, hey, it's summer league, but maybe now, like, if you think about it with Tiger Woods, when Tiger completely changes golf, well, it took a while for the younger generation that grew up playing exactly like he did to hit the tour. And then all of a sudden Rory gets there and all of a sudden everybody's just bombing driver and overpowering golf. But it took a while. Like, maybe is this the spot? Because I am completely with your point of, you know, when you think back to the young guys that we're talking about that are making up American basketball, right now there's not a bunch of pure shooters. And who's going to step up and take that role? Because there's one thing you know that's going to be on an American roster. Somebody's going to be there just to shoot.
Right, because those international teams, they all have
100%.
Shooters, right? Right? We've known that for many, many decades now. I think that, you know, you go Tiger Woods, you go Steph Curry. I think as they both entered into their realm of dominating the sport with what they did, there were people around the sport at that time who, you know, it just in terms of shooting, everything to the rim, everything's a dunk, everything's a dunk. Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and we're talking about Ja Morant. If Ja Morant, it's a matter of putting in the time. Tiger Woods did that from a very young age. And all of a sudden, it took a while for those guys to realize is golf's more athletic now.
Yep.
And he was head and shoulders above everybody else when it came to that, when he burst onto the scene. Steph Curry, well documented, of the types of shots that he's put up over the course of his career in the gym at all hours of the night. That's how he got to be a tremendous shooter. It didn't happen overnight. And when you're talking about 16, 17, 18-year-old kids right now, do they have time to get in that one-on-one, get in the gym by themselves, get in the gym with a good shot, you know, a teacher to, you know, part of, you know, it's a boring line of the way to talk about it, but the way he shoots, his percentage was high because he's got good form. How many guys in the NBA don't have good form?
Well, I mean, to me,
that's part of it.
That's a huge part of. So
it's a huge part of being consistent.
My brother,
at his level.
My brother played AAU basketball, but then he kind of focused as he got into high school. After JV, he kind of focused on football and baseball. But he loves basketball, and his whole problem with Ja is, it's very difficult for me to believe that he's going to be a great shooter because I've never seen a good shooter shoot with his elbow out. And Ja kind of has that. Yeah. If you see it, it's that right elbow. Because like, his whole thing, yeah. he goes, I know it's a dumb sports thing, but he's like every great shooter you think about, almost, I guess maybe Sean Marion, but I feel like Marion falls into like.
How about Craig Hodges? You want to go back to the Craig Hodges days? That was pretty
ugly. Yeah. It is, but it's like, you think, but to your point, it's like almost every single guy that we believe in, it's like, yeah, they all kind of shoot that tight, elbows yeah. in tight, and they let it go kind of like right above their head.
And just consistent.
Yeah.
All the way through with that elbow, with the release, everything. And Steph Curry has been that over the course of his career.
Did you see that photo that was going his last three with Wimbanyan? Like,
yeah,
we had the TV view. We couldn't quite realize it, but they show it's a photo from behind the goal on the opposite end of the floor. And you realize like, oh, my God, how did that go in? Because you have this 7'6" phenom going at full speed, like trying to block the shot. And he like just shoots it up to the rafters and has it all the way come back down.
Yeah.
All right, there's one
the
other
guy
thing.
The person who caught that image knew it immediately.
Oh, absolutely.
I just got that one.
You're rushing to your laptop. Like, I got to get this photo out ASAP. You brought up something interesting because I'm curious about this. And one thing that we talk about on this show is kind of like, where is watching sports on TV, where is it going? And I will admit I'm not the world's biggest fan of NBC Universal simply because I think they're some of the biggest predators in terms of just trying to absolutely rip off the consumer. I'm a little fearful that Peacock was a little too successful this year because I think you might have been able to see, like, in this, we're trying to figure out where are we going, you know, from the linear model to the streaming model. I think the Olympics might have given the blueprint, which is, hey, we're going to offer, if you want to watch everything, we've got this platform. You can watch everything. We're also going to give you Gold Zone. We're also going to give you like some feature broadcasts and whatnot. But that was a little disheartening to me because I'm sitting there going like, oh God, Peacock's going to cost $15.99. I'm going to have it because now we see the NBA's going there. We know the NFL's already there. Like I'm just a little worried that that's where we're headed. We're headed to this world of, not only are we going to have the streamers, we're going to have everything, and I think they might be close to figuring out a format.
Yeah, and we opened with, you know, the remote control this weekend was working overtime, and it's somebody come to my house and explain to me how I can put it on an Amazon game or a Peacock game and be able to get to the next channel as well. I mean, we've always been, okay, CBS is the 1 o'clock game, 12 o'clock for you,
yep.
You know, Fox, all that, you know, we can go back and forth with those. Now you have, you know, the streaming, you've got to, it takes a few minutes to get there. It's not instant as well. There were a couple of things that I loved, and I don't know that they're new, but some of the pause were, especially in the basketball, where it was, you know, a driving layup and they paused it.
Yeah.
And let you sort of take everything in. I don't know if that's new or not, but I loved it. And if that's part of NBC for the future, I mean, I don't know if Turner could have done that over the last couple of years. But that, I feel like from different production standpoints, they elevate it to what the future is. And we know what it is with the streaming and having to pay extra. And, you know, okay, I want to go back over there. We're not going to be watching it on our 55-inch TV. It's going to be on our three tablets, you know, our iPads and different things like that, you know, along those lines. So it is interesting. So we're always going to pay more, right, as a consumer. And they're at the top of the
heap. Especially the sports fan as consumer. We're the ones that they are just viewing as cash cows right now.
But how often can you go to that well for us? And you know, I've got enough. That was a big word for me this past weekend. I've got enough.
Yeah.
I've got enough channels right now. Yes, I still pay for cable. If anyone's been listening to us for the entire time, they know I'm an older guy, right? I'm still willing to pay for cable. I'm now watching stuff on my phone, but even I'm not watching a game from beginning to end. I'm learning how to be in and out. And if I miss something, I know I can find it within a couple of minutes. Hey, there was a big play. You know, hey, you know, from Saturday and the women's track and field, you know, the Kobe Bryant moment
yeah.
of great video and putting that together, that I wanted to see that. They're comparing Sha'Carri Richardson for the U.S. track and field team to Kobe Bryant. There is that moment. What did she do? Well, she she just stared daggers into her opponent and said, "You can do whatever you want. You've trained for all these hours. I'm winning this race for my team." And that and I found it. I found it instantly. I'm like, and I watched it multiple times to be like, wow, I missed it live. But guess what? Within 5 minutes of realizing it happened, I'm right there. I've got it.
To your point about the technology, I'm always unclear of, did NBC have their own production there, or is it the world feed? Like, so the Olympics do the production, NBC has the rights to broadcast it. So was that, you know, we see this oftentimes in soccer, the big soccer events. So whether it's World Cup, Euros, whatever, FIFA's handling the broadcast, like the actual broadcast itself, and then you pay for the rights. So I'm always unclear on, was that NBC technology? Was that Olympic technology, whatnot? I think the answer is, it's going to start to get blended where it's not going to be all streaming. It's not going to be all, you know, you and I. Like, I'm still a DirecTV subscriber. I think what's going to happen is people are going to figure out, all right, we're going to have to start pooling everyone together and figuring out how to do that. But that seems to me where it's going, but I don't know if... I think the reality is if somebody had a great plan, we'd know about it. But I did take note of, someone that you're familiar with, an employer you're familiar with. Did you see they had the report last week? For the first time, ESPN Plus was profitable. And it was ahead of the... And so, you know, they're getting ready to launch the direct-to-consumer product, whatnot. Right. So it beat expectations. It was profitable. So to me, it's almost like we can kind of bemoan how, you know, being able to flip channels or whatnot. To me, it's like we the sooner we get on board, probably the easier the transition's going to be.
Right, and there are people out there, you know, they're not thinking about the next, you know, year. They're thinking about 2028.
Correct.
How are we better?
Yes.
You know, they're thinking, you know, okay, you know, and it is. I mean, look at the podcast world. You know, everyone's got a podcast, but only a few actually make money. And those are from the superstars. But the podcasts have been out there now for well over a decade. And all of a sudden, hey, this is how we make money off of these. And it takes time. It takes patience. And it takes, you know, throwing a lot of things at the wall and seeing what sticks. You know, and it's hard to believe, but in our industry, you know, we're talking about present day, but we're talking about 4 years down the road. And there are people in the industry who are saying, we're not only looking at 2028, we're looking into the 2030s. And that's hard to believe.
Well, because you don't even know what the technology is going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's, you know, hey, how are we building this for the future? And the leagues are understanding that. That's where the money is. That's what these, you know, this NBA deal was a big part of that. What is our future on that side of it? Because that's where our young viewers are going to get it. We're going to them. We've got to find them. We've got to bring them in. And I mean, I have two teenage boys, and how they consume things is entirely different than how my wife and I consume, you know, all of our media. And they have no, you know, they first off, they have no real, you know, they're never going to sit down and watch a sporting event. Let alone the Olympics, but just of, you know, how are you hitting them? How are you getting the fringe people? And, yeah, you know, coaching Little League in the last 10 years, it's taught me that we don't sit down for an entire game. There's no way in the world. And the parents kind of looking at me like, yeah, there's no way they're doing that. But they'll listen to they'll watch their highlights in the morning. And that's Bristol, that's ESPN, that's Disney. And it's, you know, look at what Disney's doing on their side of it with the entertainment. It's, you know, it's figuring out how to put it in front of them. So, the, you know, now let's talk in 12 months, 24 months, 36 months. Do they have a string? Is this lasting where they're making a profit now off of that ESPN Plus? Does it, you know, is it, you know, are we talking about this in 4 years? It's 48 straight months they've made a profit.
Indeed. All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk some Tiger basketball. Jason Munns joins the program. We'll have Steve back for hour number two. Lots to get to from the NFL and more. We'll do all that on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Wanted to ask you about this because I didn't know one way or the other. So Raheem Shabazz put on Twitter, I believe this was, speaking of, it was the 8th, so I guess this was last Thursday, if I'm doing my math correctly. I'd like to thank the University of Memphis basketball program for the interview process and considering me the best candidate for the position of strength and conditioning coach. Even though I'm not allowed to accept it at this point, it means the world to be considered. Again, I know Coach Shabazz is a big presence here locally. I guess I'm just confused. Why interview someone if you can't hire them? Like, did this catch your attention? Because this was sent to me, and I was very confused by it all.
Oh, it got my attention. There's no doubt about that. I had gotten wind of probably a couple of weeks ago that that conversations were being had between Memphis and Coach Shabazz, and but that was really the extent of what I knew until what he posted on social media popped up, and you know, kind of confused myself. It's hard to make heads or tails of the message in there. Whether and there may be more than one message in that social media post. So I still don't really have much clarity on that situation, other than he is not going to be the next strength coach at the University of Memphis.
Is the implication that he can't be hired because of pre-existing relationships or whatnot? Like, to me, it's like, okay, well, if you want to hire him as the strength coach, I would think pre-existing relationships you could sever tie. Like, is it because of ties to the school? Like, I don't know. I was just very confused because it's not as if, hey, this is a report that gets out there. Like, this comes from his personal Twitter account. So that confused me.
He seems to be indicating, again, I'm having to sort of read between the lines here, but he seems to be indicating that, that there is some sort of, perhaps, I would think, a compliance issue, and you know, it's hard to, we don't know what specifically that might be, or if that is, in fact, what it is, but that seems to be the indication from him that there is some sort of compliance issue that is preventing him from being considered as the strength coach at the school. But it is a little bit of a head scratcher, as you pointed out, that if that is the case, then how did it even get that far? To where there was an interview, like, if you knew that, what's the point in interviewing a candidate that can't be hired? So, it seems like kind of a weird deal.
Where does the coaching staff stand as of right now? Because I know there were reports, I think Hitman Hoops had said that there was a Nolan Smith hiring or whatnot, but I don't think that's been made official. Like, where, as we stand, what do we know right now in terms of the coaching staff?
We know they have not announced a strength coach. We know there is a third. We know Mike Davis is going to be an assistant. And obviously, we know Rick Stansberry is going to be an assistant. So that would leave one more assistant coach spot open. And what else? I think. Oh, and then they have a spot open for a recruiting director. Jeremy Kipnis just left a week or two ago. So those are the openings that Memphis has right now. That's really about all I can say. You alluded to some reporting that's been done, and there are reasons why that hasn't been confirmed.
We also think, right, that you're going to get to speak to Penny this week. It's tournament week, and while we don't have the old school, you know, FedEx St. Jude Pro-Am, there is still other golf events that he will partake in. Are we expecting to speak to Penny this week?
I really, really hope so. It's out at Collierville at Spring Creek, where it's the Danny Thomas Celebrity Am, where you're going to have some of the celebrities that are, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Vince Carter's supposed to be out there. David Arquette, Lionel Hollins, Luke Kennard, and Penny is usually, I mean, he's almost always, if not always, one of the celebrities in that event. And he has spoken every year before this year, every year up until now. I would hope that continues, but we will have to wait and see, I guess. It's not a school sponsored thing, so it's not like we can put in requests with the communication staff at the university. So, given the way this off season has gone, you have to think he won't make himself available. And if he does, he will try his best not to talk about basketball. But hopefully. We're getting to a place where that changes, it being mid-August, and here pretty shortly things are going to start ramping up, hopefully we do get to talk to him and we talk to that basketball.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.